Michael, as you're making your way up on the third slide, the title I've misspelled fourth. You could just add a U in there. It'd be great. Thank you. Don't worry. Nobody heard that. Don't worry. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer while Michael fixes the slide. No, I mean, seek the Lord in prayer. And let's pray. Oh, Father God, you are good, Lord. And you are here. You are merciful. You are true. Lord, we come to you this morning, each of us very different, from very different places this morning, Lord. Our time this week has been spent very differently, each one of us. For some, O Lord God, there has been a time of rejoicing. There has been time of marching forth in victory, Lord, over the events of the week, over the tasks of the week. There has been command. For some, O Lord God, there has been sorrow. There has been confusion. There has been defeat, Lord. There has been pain. There has been mourning and weeping. As we gather here this morning, Lord, our time since we have met last, Lord, for each of us has been very different. But you, O Lord God, are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And you hold each of us who confesses Christ as Savior in the palm of your hand, and you love us. And so, O Lord God, regardless of how we have spent this week, Lord, we come before you this morning in complete and utter need of you for the very next second of our lives and every second on into eternity, Lord. As we continue seeking you to understand and to know and to live into how you have created us as beings, finite beings in time, we pray, O Lord God, that you would speak to us through your word, that you would shape and form our souls, our minds, our hearts, our bodies, O God, by the working of your word, by the working of your spirit in this time, that your will would be done in us, that you would shape us to be more and more into your people now, O Lord God. So come, Lord Jesus, come. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good Sabbath to you all. Shabbat Shalom. Yes. If you've seen the movie or ever seen the play Fiddler on the Roof, it's a wonderful, I think so. It's a wonderful play, musical, about a town in Russia that is made up of a Jewish community, and the times are changing around them. They are a Jewish community that really is being overrun by modernization, their standpoint, and by a Russian Orthodox Christianity, though very, very secularized, and so they are despised, the Jewish community, in many ways, but also their identity is being frayed away, is being unraveled around them, especially this the main character, as he sees his daughters kind of leaving the traditions that his life has been built upon. And part of the traditions of their community is the Sabbath. The Sabbath. What is that? Right? What is the Sabbath? It's something that we read about in scriptures, and we see particularly, I think, if we've read parts of Scripture, hopefully read more than parts of Scripture, we see in the Old Testament especially, you can't get very far in the Bible without seeing the Scripture, seeing the Sabbath that comes right up in Genesis chapter 2. It's right woven into the account of how God creates everything. But on the He creates in 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rests. He ceases from His work, and He rests. And then He commands us to do the same, and calls that a Sabbath. In fact, in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, which sometimes confuses us because it's actually a New Testament book, not an Old Testament book, it talks and refers to heaven as our Sabbath rest. So heaven is described and pictured as a Sabbath. In Israel, they were commanded to work 6 days, but to rest on the seventh day, and that was a Sabbath, and it was to be holy to the Lord. We tend, I think, for the most part, in our American Christianity, not to really, A, understand the Sabbath, and B, not to hold to a Sabbath. I think there's many reasons for that. One of which, I think, is we've gone to a 5-day work week, and so we think, hey, we sort of have 2 Sabbath days, don't we? In a sense, we have 2 days off from working, so we don't really need a Sabbath, do we? We don't really know what that is or what that looks like, and boy, now that was the Old Testament. We're in the New Covenant now, and maybe we don't need to hold that. Is that legalistic? And, well, maybe it just means we go to church on Sunday morning, and really, Sabbath, isn't that what it really is? Like, you know, when I was a, maybe when we were kids, that meant we went to church all day Sunday, but now, Sabbath keeping, you know, what the Lord really intends is we'll go to church, you know, a couple Sundays a month, and then we watch football on Sunday afternoon, right? I mean, that's what Sabbath really should be about, something like that. And we get confused by what biblically is Sabbath. But if the Scriptures start with the Sabbath and God making a Sabbath, and they point to heaven being a Sabbath, and all throughout the Scriptures they're the Sabbath, and Jesus refers to the Sabbath, there's a lot more going on here than just something that's optional for us, that's something that we can just kind of tinker around with. It's woven into the fabric, not only of all Scripture, but into all of creation. In fact, I would suggest to you that our American version of this, of a weekend or a day off, or looking forward to a vacation, absolutely is not God's version of Sabbath at all. So this morning, I would like for us, as we're looking at this series on time, theology of time, I want us to take a look at Sabbath. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may gain wisdom. And this morning we'll look at the Sabbath. Lord, what is the Sabbath? Well, turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to read from smack dab in the middle of the Ten Commandments. We're going to look at the commandment on the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11 this morning. The Ten Commandments that God gave to His people as He was establishing them, forming them, coming out of slavery in Egypt and establishing His people, His nation. This was His covenant with them. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither shall you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is God's word. The fourth commandment, the Sabbath. First he says, in verse 8, I miswrote that too, that should say 8 when I get to it there. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. Now it's interesting for God to say that. Remember the Sabbath day. If you work for a company, you have a certain amount of days off per year. If you work either for yourself or if you work in the home, you have no days off for the year. But if you do work for a company and you have so many days off for the year, maybe you have a use it or lose it policy, right? Where you have to use your days off or you lose them. Maybe you can cash a few of them in for a certain amount of dollars per day or something, up to so many days. But if you don't use your vacation days, then you will lose it. So a lot of times at the end of the year, you have people trying to use up some days if they haven't taken their vacation days throughout the year. And so maybe your boss will come to you and say, remember, if I was looking at everyone's time off, they still have available ransom reports, and you still have 4 PTO, personal time off, days, whatever, available to you. You need to use them by the end of December, or else you're going to lose them. I want you to remember the days off you have. And usually, you remember how many days off you have, right? Usually, you know, and maybe you gain, a certain amount of hours off as the calendar day goes by. You pretty much know how many hours and days off you have, right? Most people sort of keep pretty good track of that, right? Here's the Lord telling us, remember one day a week off that I have set aside for all of humanity that is to be a day of ceasing work, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Like, come on, God. How are we going to forget a day off? Are you kidding me? We are so busy. Lord, don't worry. We're not going to forget this. Really? Turns out it's really important that God says, remember the Sabbath day. Because, brothers and sisters, we have forgotten the Sabbath day. We have forgotten what it means. We have forgotten to hold it, to honor it. And not because it's some chore, it's some duty, it's some beautiful gift that God has created for us. And we've forgotten it. Remember last week we were trying to look at it and suggesting that I think I would love for us to shift our thinking and the way we even view time. That for most of us, we look at time as something we have to defeat and we have to bend to our will, and time is against us. Time is a curse. And to say, God created time, even the limits of time, as a gift to us. That it's a blessing that there are only so many hours in the day to us. I struggled with that this week. found myself at moments throughout this week going, oh, I feel so pressed for time, and I'm just trying to remember, but this is supposed to be a gift. How can I live into that? God made the Sabbath as a gift, and He's saying, hey, I got you this gift. I want you to remember that. That ever happened with children after Christmas, maybe a couple days after Christmas? I'm bored. There's nothing to play with.
Nothing to play with?
All right, we're packing it all up. We're taking it all back.
What do you want? No, no, don't take that. No.
Gifts, remember the gifts. God says, remember the Sabbath day. And then He goes on in these verses here to tell us how. How we're to go about remembering it. What we're to do in the Sabbath day and how we are to remember it. First, He says in verse 8 that we are to keep it holy. The Sabbath day is holy. Now, holy means set aside. Holy also means without sin. So only God is holy. So our Sabbath day is to be something special. It is a day that is set aside unto the Lord. Okay, and we're going to talk in a second about just some thoughts, not my own. I'll share them and who they're from and all that. On kind of pragmatically, what does this look like? I think that's where we really wrestle with is, how does this play out? What are we supposed to do with this idea of Sabbath? Or how do we do this? But it is a set-aside day. It's a special day. It's different than the other six. It's separate. It's marked off from the other days. Set aside. It's a time when we can say, this day is different than others. And yes, we in the church, Christians, we have moved when the Sabbath, we as a people celebrate the Sabbath. And so for Israel in the Old Testament, it was on Saturday, the seventh day of the week. Okay, it made perfect sense. On the seventh day of the week, God rested. In the creation account, Genesis 2, verses 1 through 4. Right? The church shifted that to the first day of the week, and this is recorded in the New Testament, and we see this with Paul doing this, because of the resurrection. The resurrection was on the first day of the week. Now, God doesn't actually say that we must celebrate the Sabbath on a particular day. It's not instructed for us to do it on a particular day. It doesn't say celebrate on the seventh day. It says 6 days you'll work, one day you won't. So, in a sense, there is freedom for us to choose one day in seven. The only hesitation I'll give on that is to say that what I do think is that there is something very important about us working our Sabbath as a community. That there is something about Sabbath, having part of a Sabbath as a community. And again, just want to point to our Jewish neighbors who really, I think, understand this so well. So well. You know, in Israel, everything stops. To this day, even today, everything stops on Friday at sundown. Now, they're preparing for the Sabbath, which takes a lot of work. So really, from about noon on Friday, everything is, they're cooking and working and cleaning and everything. And so as you're getting even into the afternoon, no one's really out and about. They've already bought all their food and got everything cleaned. And so Friday is a very intentional day of preparation for the Sabbath. But it comes sundown on Friday, you can't run to the store and pick something up. You can't get on the bus because the buses don't run. Everything, the whole place shuts down. As a community, And there's something very, very powerful about that, that we don't have, for the most part. Even though we may on a Sunday morning gather for a little while and go forth. Setting aside a time as a community and saying, this is set apart as unto the Lord, keeping it holy. Secondly, we remember the Sabbath day by doing no work. Verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor your alien within your gate, within your gates. So we work on 6 days, and on the Sabbath we don't work. Paid work or unpaid work is, I think, the principle of the Sabbath here. It's not just a day off. It's not the time in which we do our chores. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Because how does our life typically work? We work 5 days, you know, again, not everybody, some schedules are different, I know, but Monday through Friday, and then Saturday, we hope, is sports days, if you can align your sports for your family up on a Saturday, or your activity day, and then Sunday, you do, you know, church in the morning, and then you do, if you're in school, you do your homework maybe in the afternoon, the last minute, and then you do, if you're been working through the week, that's when your beloved gives you the list, or you pick up the list from last week that you didn't get to or didn't finish, and that's when you got to go and you got to, you know, do all the stuff, right? You got to get all the chores done, get all the work done. You got to get everything done, and you got to figure out how to get everything in and get it all, kind of catch all up from the week. So you can go rushing right on into Monday morning and get all ready to get everything going, right? It's when all the tasks and stuff has to get done. The idea of not working on a Sabbath doesn't mean it's a day off from my 9-to-5 job. It's really saying no work, paid and unpaid work. And so to make that possible takes a lot of work. You know, as I'm referencing in Israel when they do this, in order to not have to cook and make meals and clean for 24 hours from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, for that 24-hour period, there's a lot of preparation that has to go ahead of time to make that all possible, right? But in that 24-hour period, they're not thinking about cooking and cleaning and paying bills and fixing the plumbing and getting the task done around the house and installing the new this and getting. They're not doing those things because it's a day that's holy and it's a day we're not working. Does that make sense? It's different. It's a different day. So typically what would happen, and this is a little bit difficult, but I don't know all the details on this, but there would often be on Friday night a Shabbos evening service, I think, that was reserved mostly for the men on the evening service. And I think that's because at the evening service, women were still cooking at home. Think, which is traditionally, and I didn't make that, so I'm not saying that. But then Saturday is a day where they would be worshiping in synagogue or temple together. Well, that would be a day of family worship, and there would be time together where they would go Saturday. Yes, but it's also, it's Sabbath for the rabbi also. It's a both. Yes, yes. And it's then, and that's when I have kind of questions on also. Yes, yep. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. I'm not an expert in that. I'm not at all an expert in that. So I'm really hesitant to really kind of say definitively how that all happens. But that's a little bit of my understanding. But I will say that I've even just watched on YouTube some kind of Sabbath celebrations, and they're very festive. There's just dancing and food and fun and worship and singing and joy and the community together in the streets, and there's so a lot of beauty and fun and it seems very, very wonderful. It's very wonderful. So remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, by doing no work, and instead of work, we rest. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. And we do this because, verse 11, because God rested on the Sabbath. God rested on the Sabbath. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. God rested on the seventh day in creation. Therefore, he is called and made so that we rest on the seventh day. That's the reason why. And, I mean, this is so amazing. This is part of God's love for us. Now, God is God. He did not need to rest. He was not tired. But he's so built into creation. He wove into the fabric of creation this flow, this pattern. And it's everywhere. Day and night. The seasons. The oceans. Think of flowers. Right? Flowers, they grow up, right, from the stem, and then the flower blooms. Beautiful. But then it dies. And if it's a perennial, the bulb, and I'm not an expert, but what I've been told is that bulb, when wintertime comes, you'd be like, oh, why can't the flower just stay? That bulb has to go dormant for the winter if it is to bloom again. It's this cycle of life that God has woven. The years, the way the seasons and the years flow. And he has made the week. These 7 days in the week. And he has made us to work on six and to rest on seven. I know I've shared this before with you and I forget all the context when I've shared it. But Marva Dawn, in her book on Sabbath, shares of back in the migration from the east going west across our country, that there were two wagon trains that were going west. I should have looked up the specific. I don't know what state they were traveling to, but they were starting from the same city on the east coast on the same day. There were two totally separate groups of wagons that were traveling. And one was faithful Sabbath observers, and the other group wasn't. Meaning that one group was trying to get there as fast as possible because you got to lay stake to land. You could go out there and you could claim land, and you... one who got there first, you claim the best land. You stake out the best land. So the one group said, we're going to travel 7 days a week. We want to get there first to get the best land. The other group said, we're going to honor God, and we are only going to travel 6 days a week. And on the Sabbath, we are going to rest. And the group that rested on the Sabbath arrived first, for whatever reasons. I don't know if they were more well rested and so traveled better or whatever. We are designed by God. It is woven into us who have a day set aside every week. Not store them up and try to rush down to Florida one week a year. I mean, do that, fine, whatever. You know, but that we're going to just rush into a vacation and go crazy. But that we have a day set aside a week to rest. Holy unto the Lord, set aside where we stop. And it's somehow woven into our DNA because God rested on the Sabbath. And He made us to also. And this is not a punishment. It's not a curse. Verse 12, God says that He... Sorry, verse 11. Man, I messed up all these verse numbers. What was I wasn't paying any attention to that. The last part of verse 11, because it's the day that God rested in creation, He blessed the Sabbath. Do you like the idea of God's blessing you? Doesn't that sound lovely? God's blessing on you? Well, God has given you the gift of the Sabbath, and He has blessed the Sabbath. And so ordained then that as we keep the Sabbath, He has made it to bless us. He's designed it to be a blessing for us. Isn't it so strange that we don't observe the Sabbath for the most part? When we have this gift from God that's been designed into our DNA, into our beings, into our souls, and been designed to bless us, and we say, I'm good, God, thanks. I got it, it's all right. That's fine, thanks. Remember the Sabbath day. Well, how do we do that? As we look to close here. How do we do that? What does that look like, the Sabbath? Peter Scazzaro has written a number of books that I have found very edifying. One of them is called The Emotionally Healthy Leader. Elders, we've just spent 6 or 8 months kind of working through that and wrestling through that. And he has a chapter on Sabbath delight and delighting in the Sabbath. And I think he does a really, for me, it was a really helpful job in kind of wrestling pragmatically with what does it mean to keep the Sabbath, to honor and remember the Sabbath. And he recommends kind of 4 characteristics, 4 principles of the Sabbath. He says it's a 24-hour block of time. So that's one thing to start off with. Sabbath isn't a thing, we don't say, well, I'm going to take 6 hours on Tuesday, and then I'm going to take 4 hours on Wednesday, and then I'm going to try to sprinkle in a little bit here and there. God has designed it as a day, as a 24-hour time period, where we do 4 things. First, we stop work. We stop work. And I alluded to this a moment ago. Both paid and unpaid work. But this is not a time where I'm trying to catch up on things. This is not a time where I'm trying to get things and tasks and chores done. This is a time where it's holy. It's set aside. And so the chores and the tasks are not to be done. Now, I would suggest to you that if there's a task or a chore that you enjoy doing and it's restful, praise the Lord. I know for some, maybe there's a project that you've been looking to do and you enjoy. I really want to install that ceiling fan. That's fun for you. It may be for you. And it's one you haven't been able to get to. And maybe you have a time and that you can do that. That might be fun, enjoyable for you. Or maybe you enjoy gardening. Sabbath might be a time to go and do some gardening. For some others, that might be like, that would be a chore. That is work. For that, there's no way I would ever want to do that. It would not be on the Sabbath, For some of you, that might be an absolute delight to do something like that. Okay? We stop work. And in our day and age, oftentimes that, for most of us, means we got to find and figure out what we're going to do with our devices, I would suggest. Because oftentimes our devices are tied to work in some way, right? Email, text, calls, or things like that. We got to find ways that we can't. I know, if you need to be reached in some ways, if the fire chief is on call, that's a challenge. I'd prefer he didn't put that phone away necessarily, if he's on call. But so what does that mean for someone who, is on call? Well, that's going to take some extra work to find a way to have a 24-hour period when you're not on call and can put a phone or something away, right? We stop work. It's also going to mean then that we've got to prepare. We've got to do work ahead of time and probably afterwards. Students, I think homework is work, right? And so how can we find ways to try to get homework done before or after a Sabbath time so that it's not, if it's some way before, would be so much better, so it's not on our mind during a Sabbath time, if that's possible. But during Sabbath, we are free to not work. Mom and Dad can't ask you even about the homework during Sabbath. You say, Mom, Dad, God says no. Now, once the Sabbath ends, Mom and Dad say, God says work, But anyways, you can take that up with God and Mom and Dad. We stop work. Two, enjoy rest. Enjoy rest. Somehow we've become a culture that we feel guilty for rest. Something's strange about our understanding of rest. Right? When someone asks you, how you doing? What's the culturally appropriate way to answer that? How you doing? Well, fine. Yes. So fine is one. That's the emotionally appropriate way to answer it. I use appropriate in quotation marks. But particularly if you're in the workplace, can you say, oh, things are so slow right now. I just got all kinds of free time. Can you say that at work? No. It's a one-word answer. How you doing? Busy. I am busy. Whew. And usually you say it over your shoulder as you're walking down the hallway, right? You got to kind of perfect that clipboard walk with your notebook, right? Yep. Busy. Where's our value? Our calendar. Someone ever see your calendar, either on your phone or on your screen, and you're just like, oh, I hope it's filled in. I hope they see a good week where it's really, really, really filled in. Because if it looks empty this week, they are not going to think I'm that important. The idea of slow and having rest is not valued in our culture. But God has commanded it. Now, He's commanded work. He's called us to work. Yes. Not just work a job, but to be about the work, whatever work He calls us to in our day. Whatever that is. On Sabbath, we rest and we enjoy it. And that, again, may be different things for different people. And if you're an introvert, rest may be something very different than if you're an extrovert. If you are single, it may be something very different than if you're a family. If you've been away from your family, maybe something very different than if you've been together for the whole week. If you have young children versus children in college, your situation, your temperament, your person, it could be very, very different. You may enjoy being outside. You may enjoy being alone with a book. You may enjoy a nap. You may enjoy a game of touch football. Rest can be very different for different people, but it's okay to rest. And this is connected to stopping working. We can enjoy rest because we're not thinking, I really got 7 loads of laundry that I have to go through. And you may, and do. But not during the Sabbath. So you can enjoy rest right now. Because you say, there is no way that I can or will do laundry right now. It's not the time. God says so. We enjoy rest. 3, we practice delight. Delight. We practice delighting in God's things. Now this gets all messed up for us too, I think. We, and not just in our cultural context, but as sinful humans, what sin does is we take things that God intended for delight and we corrupt them. We corrupt them, right? So we do this with food, and we do this with love, and we do this with everything in our lives that God has intended for good. We corrupt it all, right? But the Sabbath is a wonderful time to enjoy for God, with each other, the things that He has given to us. And in doing so, we enjoy them not for them and themselves, but as means of enjoying God also and God's good and perfect gift to us. So, enjoy His creation. What a wonderful time and way on Sabbath to enjoy God's creation. Either through being in it, or looking at it, or experiencing it, or just smelling it. And what a wonderful way to find ways to be outside and be in creation and try to experience that. And I know, again, for some people, that sounds horrible because that's where the bugs are. I get that, you know. Maybe it is food. Again, and we corrupt that. We, you know, gluttonous and all these different challenges that are there. And for our culture, food can be a very, very negative thing. Absolutely. So we need to be aware of that and watch that and be careful with that. And maybe that's not our avenue of delight for you if that's a real struggle for you. Maybe that's not a means of delight. But God did intend it for a delight. For our culture, food has become just a means to an end. That's why we have fast food and microwave food and quick things, right? You think, boy, how strange. What must it have been like in Israel so long ago when they didn't have drive-thrus and they didn't have microwaves? You know, it must have taken all day to make a meal. Yep. Thank goodness we don't have that anymore. Well, I don't know. That was sort of the purpose, in a sense, because in that process of slow preparing the food, there was some life that happened in that. That was really... I don't want to go too far on that. There might be something more there that we're missing. Delight, spending time together, playing a game together, enjoying music together, singing, dancing, laughing, being with friends and being with family, joy. Oh, I think we are missing joy. I think we are missing joy in our life because we're too frantic. And 4th, Sabbath, we contemplate God. We dwell and think and talk about God, who He is. Yes, in church and in small groups, But together, in families and with friends, and it's okay. We find ways as families and as groups, and we talk about God, and we spend time alone thinking about God, and not just like a regular day, but somehow in some ways, and it's a special day to think about God, about who He is. It's a day set aside, a 24-hour period in which we stop work, we enjoy rest, we practice delight, and we contemplate God. I don't do this. Our family doesn't do this. We've talked about it, trying, you know, haven't figured out how to do it yet. So I'm not, you know, again, as I said the whole beginning of this series, I don't come to you as some expert here. Trying to figure out how to do this, how to understand, how to live into this, ideas of time. I really, really want to enjoy this gift from God more. So I just invite you to pray and consider and take some steps and try. To keep and enjoy God in His Sabbath that He has given to you as a gift. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Sabbath. I pray, O God, that You would help us to remember Your Sabbath, Your gift to us, and that we would keep it holy. Help us, O Lord God, to create, to set aside, to make holy a day that we would rest and enjoy and delight and be with You and with Your people and our family, and that there would be a rhythm which You have created, O God. Would You help us, please, Lord? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.